We could all use a little help sometimes. All of us. What do I need? Coaching or therapy?
What going to a therapist is really like.
Today I will be purposefully giving terrible advice to people. I hope to ruin some lives today.
The worst advice you will ever hear in this chair, and you'll hear it every week.
I want you all to feel safe. And this is our number one rule here. What is said in this room stays in this room.
If you have the problem of blowing up and like really lashing out in anger towards everything that happens in your day, I've got a solution for you. Well,
it's like I love when people sit there and say, it's just the game, dude. It's just the game. It's just the game, dude. It's just the game. Why are you losing your mind? Bro, it's just a game. Yeah, it's just a fucking game.
What the hell was that?
The therapist doesn't know anything about me. I'm not represented there.
No, you're not.
If the therapist knew me, okay? If the therapist thought I was a terrific guy, there'd be a counter argument to
right.
it.
Right.
G'day guys, it is the NRL Supercoach Therapy Podcast. We are back for 2024. How good, how exciting is it? The footy is almost here. You can reach out, you can almost touch it. Las Vegas kicks off in a couple of days with round zero. Two games being played. We've got, what have we got? The Seagulls and the Rabbitohs, and then the Roosters and the Broncos, and then followed by round one. The following weekend, so a bit of a different kind of a start to the year for all of us. Throws up a few tricky curly things there for Supercoach for sure. Definitely something to think about today. Just with the two games ahead over the weekend, have a little wee look at those games and preview them. Look at the teams that have been announced. In terms of Supercoach, we can't really. There's just so much that's gonna evolve with Teamless Tuesday next week being such a big key. But we will have a run our eye over some super coach options, a bit of strategy, things like that, because, man, I don't know how many different teams you've tried to put together so far in your team builder. But, yeah, it's there are so many options. So we'll do our very, very best to come up with some good stuff for you. Maybe a few guys you haven't thought of. Maybe there's some guys that you really like and you just need a little bit more confidence to definitely – green light them into your side, and there might be some guys I talk you out of too. We'll see how it goes. But yeah, hey, let's first talk about the games that are coming up this weekend. Seagulls and the Rabbitohs is the first one. Pretty exciting, really. The footy's back. Pretty random and crazy that it's in Las Vegas, all that kind of thing. Still at a good time of the day for us, which is good. It's just basically Sunday arvo footy, isn't it? And played on a Saturday night in Vegas. Nothing wrong with that. Let's have a look at the sides for Manly. They've been spruiked a bit this year as a team that's going to improve. Obviously missed the eight last year, which was a big surprise to a lot of people. And I think everyone's expecting an improvement this year. Again, nothing changes. So much relies on Tommy's fitness. If he's fit, you got to think they're going to be playing finals footy. If not, then probably not. DCE, great season last year. He's another year older. The inclusion of Brooks, we'll see how that plays out. I think people might be a little optimistic on how Brooks will go. I think people are hoping he goes well after what he's had to deal with at the Tigers. But, I'm not convinced. I need to see it happen first. Let's have a look at the side. It is Tommy at the back. Saab, Cooler, Garrick, and Jackson Paulo wins the wing spot there at Manly. Brooks and Cherry Evans in the halves. Paseka, Croker, LIA. There is Toff Sipley, out for a couple of weeks with a suspension. So Olakau'atu Ben Trbojevic wins the edge spot over old mate Schuster, who stayed at home. And there's also Waddell sniffing around. I think he might be on the bench. Whoever we look, Jakey Trbojevic is locking the scrum. Carl Lawton, Corey Waddell, he is there. Yeah, Ethan Bullimore and Nathan Brown. Interesting looking bench there. Nathan Brown winning a spot. You'd expect some decent minutes there in that middle rotation. He's really the only prop on the bench. Ethan Bullimore can play in the middle. Also played a bit of edge a couple of years ago as well for Manly. Waddell is more of an edge player. And then you've got Carl Lawton, who has just who's had a shocking run with injuries over his career. So he is going to be that that 14 utility role. Can play dummy half, can play in the middle as a small forward as well. And pretty cheap, Supercoach-wise, pretty cheap. So that's something to keep in mind. Over at the Bunnies, again, another team that missed the finals last year after, I mean, well-publicized, they were leading the comp after 11 weeks, I think, and then missed the eight, just imploded towards the end of the year there. Made some big moves, picking up Jack White, and everyone was thinking, gee, this team is stacked. How are you going to fit everybody into that team? There's going to be some quality missing from that team. Come round one, and Richie Kennar and Jacob Gagai are starting for the Bunnies. So it's crazy how things can change in the blink of an eye. We look at this side, Latrell Mitchell, Alex Johnson, Isaiah Tass, looking good so far. Richie Kennar, Jacob Gagai, uh-oh. Cody Walker, sounds like he will be fit. He isn't under a cloud, but sounds like he will be fit to run the cutter there with Lachie Ilias. The forward pack is an interesting one. It's a good one. Tavita Todola, Damian Cook, Sean Kepi playing against his old side. Keon Kalamatangi, Jai Arrow has been named on an edge. Cam Murray captaining the team at lock forward. So that is a really good forward pack. You look at the bench, Saliva Havili wins the utility spot. Jacob Host, Davi Mowali, and Tommy Burgess. So that bench makeup there, you got Davi Mowali, Tommy Burgess, a couple of middles for sure. Jacob Host really is just an edge. So you have to think, and Saliva Havili can play middle as well. He can spell Cook and he can spell Murray there in the middle. No room for Talis Duncan, who was talked up big time after looking good in patches last year. So interesting there with that bench rotation there. Mowali and Burgess in the middle. Host, don't be surprised if you see Host come on. They played a bit of silly buggers last year. Sometimes Host even started ahead of Arrow, or Arrow would start on the edge. Host would come on and Arrow would move to the middle. I can see that happening too. Arrow at about 446 thou and Jewel. I don't mind him. I think he's still going to get good minutes. I don't think he's going to play 80 on the edge. I think he's going to play a mixture and have a bit of a hybrid role between playing on the edge and playing in the middle. And that's not a bad place to be for this game because we all know with the ground, the width of the ground, I think it's 3 meters either side, trimmed up. I mean, that is a lot. 6 meters in total is a lot. So don't expect lots of tries to your outside backs. And this one, I think it's just going to be a brutal match played in the middle, both games. And spoiler alert, take the unders. Take the unders. I think both games are around the 38, 39 point mark for the title. Bang the under. I think both games will go well under. It'll be played in the middle. I find it hard to see where points are going to be scored. I think the fact that teams won't be able to play with width. Both these sides do like to spread it. In saying that, you know, Souths can also punch through the middle really, really well. I don't know if Manly can do that as effectively. I think that it's going to take away Turbo's game quite a lot. I really do. And Latrell as well. I mean, you know what Turbo's like lurking through the middle there. And if the defensive line is just going to be so condensed and they don't have to worry about spreading so far out towards each sideline there, I just don't see where the gaps are going to be. I think the refs are probably going to have to give a very generous 10 meters to keep teams apart and to, you know, try and play a bit of footy. And there's probably going to be a lot of six against too, possibly more than what we'll see for the rest of the year, you know, next week. So, yeah, I don't know how it's going to go because there's the argument, you know, you say, oh, they want to put on a good show. The NRL want to put on a good show for the Yanks, and I get that, and lots of points. But the coaches don't want that. The coaches, the only points the coaches want are the 2 points when the final siren goes. That's all they care about. I don't think they give a shit if this game is won 3-2, 3 field goals to 2 field goals. I mean, they don't care. They just want to win. So I don't think they care too much about the spectacle side of things and promotion of the game. They're all about promoting themselves. Best way you can do that is to win. So I'm not expecting fireworks at all. I'm leaning Manly. I'm going to go 14-12 to Manly. Something like that. It's, yeah, 14-12 Manly. Something in that area. It's just going to be, yeah, it's going to be, I'm not going to say grim because it's exciting. It's the start of the year. But, yeah, I'm not expecting fireworks and a lot of running footy. Look, let's look at some Supercoach options for us here. Obviously, Turbo, very expensive. But, you know, you know what you're going to get with Turbo. Just, you know, one of the premium fullback options. I'm just concerned primarily with this game. And if he backs that up coming back to Australia and the next couple of games, he just, you know, he has, you know, quiet-ish games. All of a sudden, he's going to start dropping a lot of money pretty early on. If you're planning on holding him for the year, that's fine. Don't worry about it. It's all good. I just think in that premium fullback position, there's possibly better options. I've had Turbo in my side for decent chunks of the preseason, and it's just recently I've played around with a few things, and I'm think I'm going to possibly look elsewhere. This game just scares me. I mean, this game, you know, he could get a 45, and 45 normally not that bad a score, but when you're priced the way he is, that's, you know, I think there's better options come round one next weekend at fullback. Other than that, look, I think Jackson Paulo, it's a great spot being on the a Manly wing. Not this week, moving forward. Same goes for Brooks. I think Brooks will go okay. I hope he goes really well. Be really interesting to watch. Manly are a fun team to watch. Supercoach wise, they can really turn it on. I don't mind Luke Brooks. I need to see it first, so I'm steering clear of him for Supercoach. In the forward pack, Ben Trbojevic, very, very popular. I think probably half, you'd have to think at least half, maybe more teams have got Ben Trbojevic being named to start on an edge. Can't go wrong there, really. Jewel, second row and center at 277, I think. Can't really go wrong. And have him in your team as I stretch. Have him in your team. I think you can't go wrong there. Geez. If you're looking elsewhere, though, Carl Lawton, if you want to go really cheap, he is dual hooker and second row. If you want to go really cheap, I just think there's not many points. There's a 20-25 score in Carl Lawton every week. So it depends on what your strategy is as well. Really, really depends on your strategy. Do you want to go with a Harry Grant and then just next to nothing at hooker? Then Lawton's not that bad. If you're concerned about AE issues, then yeah, it could be a problem. I think the AE concern people have is overrated. How often do you loop? Do you loop that often? And it takes a bit of bad luck if you built up a squad where, you know, somebody falls over and you've got to take an AE score. I wouldn't stress about it too much. Maybe have a look, see how he goes. If he looks good, if he's playing decent minutes, he's definitely worth a look because he's pretty much bottom dollar and he's dual. And you never know. You never know if there's going to be other jewels that pop up during the year as well. And you can just play around with those, and looks really, really good. The other one is Nathan Brown. I think he's about 340 grand, only available in the second row, which is a little bit annoying. Would have been pretty good because I think he's going to get some decent minutes for the first little while. Anyway, Sipley's out for 3. Nathan Brown could play himself into be a rock solid part of that 17 for Manly, and a 340 grand. I quite like it. I think he will get dual status if he plays. Probably has to play about 3 games. He'll get dual status come, I think, the next lot of changes is possibly round 6 with Supercoach that update their positions. So he could be so handy there if you picked him up for 340 grand in that spot there, and the jewel that could really help. So I think he'll play decent minutes. Let's have a look at what the Bunnies have got to offer. Latrell is an interesting one. He's obviously in that key fullback role, which is just, you know, full of all the studs. I just don't know about Latrell. Yeah, it's tricky. He can come out and brain it or not. He's a tough watch. He's 789K. He's just a tough watch there, isn't he? In that fullback spot. Doesn't have the work rate. We all know doesn't have the work rate of the mate on the other side of the field there, as well as a bunch of other fullbacks. So for me, I'd steer clear. Massive pod option. If we have a look, he's at 8% ownership at the moment. So average 77 last year. So yeah, Alex Johnson, I'll be steering clear until sales start to click. And he's someone who's probably going to be in your side at some stage this year. It's just how it goes with Alex Johnson. He's just a try scoring freak. Other than that, I'd steer clear of Tash because we just don't know about job status once Whiten's back. Obviously, the Campbell-Graham injury is huge, so Tash might keep his spot. But yeah, it's a tough one. Kenner, I'd steer clear. He's expensive anyway. And Jacob Gagai debuting, I believe at 28, a younger brother of Dane. He's rock bottom dollar. I wouldn't go anywhere near him. I wouldn't go near wingers in this game anyway. The fact that Gagai is probably only a one-game play because Thompson couldn't get over to the States because of a visa issue. There's also Tani Milne. We've got the young winger who came on last year, burst onto the scene last year, whose name just escapes me. As Armunro, sorry, who got injured. You got to think when he comes back, he's a chance, so I would be steering clear of Jacob Gagai. I just think it's someone you're going to have to trade out probably as early as next week, and it's just a trade you don't need to make. Find another way to get a cheap guy to build the rest of your team. Totola, not a bad option. I don't think Totola at – so I've glazed over Cody Walker. I just think this game's not for him. 5'8's an interesting position, but it's just – I'm not big on Cody. I need to see South click first. If they start to click, and then you know he's in the middle of everything, and then you can have a go, but not to start the year for Cody. In the forward pack, Totola is a rock-solid guy. I think he's going to be playing close to 50 minutes for the Bunnies. I don't mind him. He's had some rotten luck with injuries, but I don't mind him there at a reasonable price. Sean Kepi is dual. He is under 400 grand. He did look good in that trial against the Dragons, the Charity Shield. I just don't know. The fact he's dual will bring people in for sure, but I just don't know about Sean Kepi. I think there are better options. Damien Cook, a little bit slept on from Supercoach perspective. Still a bit of a gun, I think. And this game, like I think, is going to be played in the middle third, as they say. And so Cook's going to be all over it. And in the middle of it, he's going to be hands on the ball a lot. But it's just whether there's going to be enough attack, if there's even going to be line breaks for him to assist is the question. I'm just concerned it's going to be a really low-scoring Supercoach round as well as actual points for NRL. But Cook, no, not the worst option. You know what you're going to get. No Mamazoulis on the bench. There is Havili, so you know he might get a spell here or there, but you know he's a big minute guy. If you want to pay up and you don't want to go Harry Grant, he does have a tough draw and a bye in round four, I think, then if you want to pay up, you can do worse than Cook. Colin Matangi is a stud, but he is priced quite highly, and there are so many really good mid-range options. So many guys under 500 grand that are undervalued and underpriced in Supercoach this year. I really think you need to load up there and build bank and then start trying to getting in your premium guys. Same goes for Cam Murray there. Joy Arrow, I mentioned, I don't mind him at about 440. He is dual, so you can just lock him into your front row there. It's where you'd want to put him. I don't think he's going to let you down. He's going to give you 50 points a week. I've been an owner of Arrow in the past whilst he's been at the Bunnies. hoping he'd get back to that Titans little wee purple patch he had about 4 or 5 years ago where he was really, really strong. It's not quite there, but he loves a decoy run. He's an expert at it, the way Souths play, and they just kept hoping they'd feed him a short ball after him decoying the last dozen times, and they didn't need to because they were so effective with how they do it. I don't mind him. I can't begrudge anyone playing Jai Arrow. Devi Moali, I don't mind as a cheapy option too. He's been in the system for a while. They really like him at the Bunnies. He's bottom dollar or close to it. I think he's close to bottom dollar anyway. I don't mind Devi Moali as a bench option in your front row if you wanted to go that way. Tricky one there for Davy. But if you need to just plug in a bench third or fourth front row spot, I think Devin Wiley is going to go all right. I think he'll get increased minutes this year. He's, you know, you get what you pay for. You're not paying much. I think if he can pump out a solid 30 to 35 minutes, you know, he can get you that 35 to 40 score and you're not complaining as a bench front rower for that. All right, we'll be back in a minute. All right, gang, let's talk about the second game in Vegas. It is the Roosters and the Broncos. Broncos beaten grand finalists, heartbreaker last year. Roosters, probably first 20 weeks of the season, got their shit together towards the end. They made the finals, but didn't go too far, expecting a bounce back from the Roosters. I see a lot of pundits have got them in their top four, and I have to agree, I've got them there as well. As for the Broncos, let's see how they go after losing the grand final in heartbreaking fashion. That was brutal last year. I was pretty happy on about the 60-minute mark, pretty happy with how things were going. And then Nathan Cleary did his thing, as we all know, and it was superb stuff. And, we'll bounce back. We're back, and let's have a look at the teams. Tedesco is at the back for these Chookies. They avoided a bit of a and didn't really answer our question with who was going to miss out in this back line with probably six guys to fit into five. It's Tedesco, Tupou, Smith, Manu, and Suaalii. Dom Young, with the neck injury he got in the preseason, misses out. Interesting to see what happens when he is fit, possibly fit by round two. We'll see how it goes. And who misses out there? Kiri and Walker in the halves. Looking forward to seeing Walker progress even further this year. I think he's in for a really big year, Sam Walker. Let's have a look at this. The forward pack, which is the interesting one from a Supercoach perspective. Spencer Lenu is a starting prop for the Sydney Roosters. How long is that going to stay? We'll have to wait and see. He's 330 grand. He's a starting prop. He's a proven player playing what looks like a different role with the Roosters. We'll see. I actually thought he was going to probably have the same kind of role as the one he had at the Panthers, where he was just so effective playing, you know, 30 minutes in the middle of the game. He's starting now, so let's see how long that lasts. On face value, you got to get him, don't you, at 330 grand. We'll see what happens. There's no Jared Warrior Hargreaves, but I don't think he's going to really dictate massive minutes upon his return. I think the guy he's going to be fighting for minutes for is on the bench at the moment. We'll talk about it in a minute. Lindsay Collins, Queensland rep, is his front row partner. Brandon Smith is the hooker. Siwa Wong has one edge spot, and Satili Tupanua the other one. Lot of competition here for these spots. Angus Crichton misses out. Nat Butcher misses out. To a lesser extent, Egan Butcher, who can play edge, he also misses out. So much depth in this team. Victor Radley is the lock forward. Sandon Smith wins a bench spot. Big surprise there. I would have thought that was Connor Watson's for sure. Sandon Smith wins it. Nafahu White gets a spot on the bench too. I know he doesn't have the wraps that a lot of the other Roosters have, but they really rate him there, clearly. He's in the 17, and there's guys like Angus Crichton and Egan Butcher that aren't. Nat Butcher is on the bench also with Terrell May. That is a very, very strong team. We've seen it on paper, on our screen, whatever. That's a premiership winning 17. Doesn't always work out that way. But man, that is a strong, strong side. Up against the Broncos, who also look very, very good. Let's have a look at this Broncos team. You've got Reece Walsh at the back, Jesse Arthurs, Katoni Staggs, Selwyn Cobbo. Dean Mariner is on a wing. Came on, had a real impact when the limited games he played last year, looked really, really good. He has won a wing spot. The word was in the preseason that was Corey Oates's, but apparently it's Dean Mariner's. At this stage anyway, Kibby might play silly buggers. I've seen some stories today that the 17 named isn't going to be the 17 that play. If we look at the forward pack, Corey Jensen, who I think is a good no-nonsense front rower. I really like Corey Jensen. I don't think he's super coach relevant really for you, but I do like him as a foil to the bigger guns in this forward pack. Billy Walters, who had a brilliant season last year. Jeezy played well. He is your hooker. Payne Haas starting. Big-time super coach player. I just think you can spend your money elsewhere. You know, if you want to play it super safe, put him in for the start of the year and leave him for the whole year. He's not going to let you down. He's going to average, you know, 70-odd for the year. I just think there's money to be made elsewhere. I could be wrong. It might be a case where I'm always optimistic that things are going to go great. There's going to be lots of points. Apart from Vegas, there's going to be lots of points all the time. So you want to be putting your money towards those high-ceiling backs, essentially. But, you know, if it's tight and gluggy and low scoring and play through the middle for the first 4 or 5 weeks, you know, Payne Haas could be pumping out 70s for fun. And some of the guys you're throwing the same kind of cash out are throwing your 30s and 40s, and you're like, oh, shit. But yeah, Haas won't let you down. He won't let you down. It's just not for me. Piakura, very, very popular player. Looks like an edge spot is all his now to own. Geez, I like him. Bit of a niggle after, I think it was the second game, preseason game, where he did score a double. To be fair, that Cowboys side, it was basically reserve grade side. So, you know, just bear that in mind, but he does look good. They've liked him for a long time. Now's his chance at 430 something. It represents pretty good value. I think Pierre Kura is going to be a very, very popular Supercoach player this year. Jordan Rickey on the other edge. Not really talked about as much, but a good solid player and a good Christchurch boy too. So go you, good thing, Jordan Rickey. And Paddy Carrigan locking that scrum. If we look at the bench, Tyson Smoothie has won the backup hooker spot on the bench. Fletcher Baker coming back, playing against his old side. He wins the spot, as does Kobe Hetherington, who I think is another good rock solid player. He's 298 grand. I just don't know where the minutes are going to be for middle forwards outside of Carrigan and Haas. That's the concern. Xavier Willison has also been named. Very, very popular. Had a really good game in the All-Stars match. Popular, cheapy option. The word is that Marty Tapau is going to play instead of Xavier Willison. Nothing official there. Watch that space. But that's just what I read. So we'll wait and see. Look, very similar to what I thought in the other game, the Bunnies and the Seagulls. I think this will be low scoring. Two very, very good teams as well. Very low scoring. Geez, I'd almost say the same score, but I'll change things up a little bit. I'm going to say, 18-16 Broncos. I'm going to go Broncos with zero faith, to be fair. I'll take the Broncos, 18-16. I just think the strike that that the Roosters have got out wide, and even this, and the strike from the Broncos too, it's going to be nullified. And it's going to be who's going to do better in the forwards. I'll just back Payne Haas and Carrigan over Lenu, Collins, and May. I just think the Haas Carrigan factor might just carry the Broncos over the line. We'll wait and see. Super coach wise, let's have a look. Teddy at just over 700 grand, not the worst option. Again, I don't really want to be playing fullbacks who are playing in Vegas. I just think the whole thing is going to nullify their ceiling score. I think Teddy will be a wonderful option from round two onwards. they've got a bit of a tough start to the year, the Roosters, but I just think Teddy, you know, he put his hand up and said it wasn't his best year last year. I think he wants to make amends. And so I'm expecting a massive year. If you're not sure, if there's about five fullbacks that you're looking at and Teddy's one of them and you're happy to go with one of those five, if getting Teddy means you can really get the guy you want in another position where you need to find another, you know, 150 grand, roll with Teddy. Roll with Teddy. Because like I said, I don't think Turbo's going to hurt you this week. Ponga and Drinky might hurt you, but I don't think Turbo or Reece Walsh will. So, yeah, to play a little less and get Teddy, I can get around that. Other than that, I mean, six on legs, you know how, if you've been listening, you know how I feel. If you've been listening the last couple of years, you know how I feel about Joseph Manu. Gutted that sounds like he's probably going to go to rugby at the end of the year. But best of luck to him. Not a super coach option yet. If the Roosters do what they've said they're going to do and change their philosophy and go for more an attack mindset to start the year and really try and hit the ground running, a guy like Manu is just, he's just a delight to watch, with or without your clothes on. Up to you. Is this Michael? Yeah. I love Manu to bits. And yeah, but he's just not super coach relevant at the moment. Price very, very high. Sam Walker, if you don't want to roll with Cleary and Hines at halfback, I reckon Sam Walker's probably in amongst with Moses and Johnson as the next best options for you. I really like Walker, and I hope he has a really good year. Gets a bit bigger and stronger. What was he, like 13 when he debuted a couple of years ago? So he's 15 now. So you got to think, you know, he's starting to build a little bit of muscle there on those bones and get that more confidence with his defense, and that should ooze into his attack as well. So I don't mind Sam Walker as an option, and he'd be someone I would go to if something was to happen to Cleary or Nico. I'd probably go to Walker or maybe Johnson. I'm not too sure yet, but it's a tough call to not go with two of the big guns, really. But Walker's there looming. The forward pack is where it does get interesting supercoach-wise at the Chookies. Spencer Lenu, like I said, at 330 grand, he's starting. I don't see him playing 25 to 30 minutes to start the game and then not go on the bench and then not come back on. So I think he's got at least a 40-minute game in him. Even at 1 point a minute, you know, do the math. That's almost 40 points. You take that for a $330,000 outlay, you'll take 40 points. I think he's got a 40 minimum in him, especially this game. Like I said, it's going to be played through the middle. The big boys are going to have their hands on the ball a lot. They're going to be making a lot more tackles as well. So I think the base is going to be there. So I think these middles, there's going to be plenty of base points for them. And Spencer Lenu at 330, I don't know. I don't think you can pass him up. Lindsay Collins, probably a bit too expensive. Looking longer term, he will be playing Origin as well. It's a headache you don't need to deal with. Siwa Wong, very, very interesting. Played towards the back end of last year, maybe played 8 to 10 games, maybe. Did coincide with their form turn as well. He's under 500 grand. He's been named. I really like Siwa Wong. I liked what he showed us last year, and he is in my side to start this year. Satili Tupanua is an interesting one. He's been in the team for a while, had the injuries. He's won a starting spot, which is great. He's under 400 grand, which is really enticing, and I can totally see him being in a lot of sides because he's just that bit cheaper than a lot of the other mid-rangers like your Wongs, Piakura, Vermore, Lane, Curran, all these popular guys in that mid-range level, and he starts with a 3, which makes him very, very tempting. You know what he can do. He's a proven player, not a great base gatherer, but like I said, he's going to get base in this game. The attack might not be there. The base will be there. So I don't think he's going to lose you any money in the short term. Radley, nah, it's just he's too risky. He's a sin bin suspension risk. Speaking of which, Brandon Smith. I don't mind Brandon Smith if you just want to lock in a hooker who's playing in round zero, and because hooker is just a nightmare of a position, isn't it, for Supercoach. So if you just want to go with Brandon Smith, he's not going to be an 80-minute hooker for you. There's Sandon Smith sitting on the bench there, so Brandon's probably going to play 50, 55 minutes, something like that. If he can crunch out 50s at 400 and I think 50 grand-ish, geez, I don't mind that. I don't mind that too much. Let's have a look. Let's have a look and see what Brandon is priced at. I think he's 471. Okay. Yeah, so average 46 last year. He's in 9% of teams. So if he can give you a 50, I don't mind that. Thing is, there's so many question marks over the hooker position this year. If you lock in Brandon Smith, this goes for anybody actually playing this week now, that you're not 100% on. If you lock them in, they're playing in round zero, and then teamless come out the following Tuesday, and there's all these opportunities, and say two really good options pop up at hooker. Say Parramatta go with just the one hooker. Well, you know, who knows what's going to happen there. And there's another guy all of a sudden that presents themselves. You can only get one of them because you've already locked in Brandon Smith. I don't mind locking in Brandon Smith because I think he's going to give you a floor of 50, especially in this game, like I said, through the middle. But I think you need to keep your options open, especially in positions like hooker, because what's Parramatta going to do with their guys? Is Little going to be fit? He's an option. There's Coruscant, but oh, that's for the week after. You can't really run with a Brandon Smith Coruscant. You're going to have nobody for round one, and you have to run an AE, which, you know, you can do that too. Is there another cheapie that comes from nowhere? Word is that possibly Beryl is an option at the Sharks. Blake Braley may not be the 80-minute hooker that he has been for the previous few seasons. Just keep that in mind as well. So, yeah, it's a tricky one. If you like Brandon Smith, you know, go for it. If you've got a plan and it involves him, I've got no qualms whatsoever with you rolling the dice with the cheese. If we look at the bench, Sandon Smith, White, he's cheaper, but just job security concerns me. Nat Butcher's too expensive. Terrell May, he's about 430 grand. He was really, really good for them last year when he came off the bench. High work rate, just in everything. Really scored well from a Supercoach perspective. First and foremost, he's in their 17, so that's a good thing. I can't see when JWH comes back, I can't see him edging out Terrell May. I think it's going to be more than likely White that misses out. A lot will probably, you know, this game might determine some of that as well, but you got to think May's going to be in their 17 somewhere. He is a very, very good Supercoach option. And I'm actually very much considering rolling with both May and Lenu as my starting props for Supercoach this year. I think they both present really, really good value. And there's money to be made and points to be scored for both of them. Let's look at the Bronx. Reece Walsh, not interested at all. Might be just a personal bias I have towards the bloke, but not interested, especially in a game like this. Maybe down the track if he's killing it, but just not for me. Jesse Arthurs, most definitely. Pretty cheap. He's 300 and something grand. He's playing on the wing for the Broncos. It's a good place to be. Not this week again, but moving forward, most definitely. Had that brilliant grand final. Doesn't really mean anything now, but Jesse Arthurs at under 400 grand starting on a wing. Don't mind it. Don't mind it at all. Other than Mariner, you'd think he'd be cheap. He's not. I think he's 500 and something grand. So I'd steer clear for now. If he looks the goods, you can build up some bank and maybe get to him if he's just dynamite. Can't have him to start with. Isra Mam is one to think about. Never been a huge Supercoach scoring guy. And you might be thinking, geez, look what he did in that grand final. He's just going to progress and get better and better. He may well do so, but he's a steer clear for now. Haas, I've talked about already. Piakura, I've talked about. I like him. I think Piakura is a great option. Carrigan, a very good Supercoach player. Obviously, an unbelievable NRL player. Not for me, though. Not for me. If you look to the bench, Hetherington, if you need to, at under 300, just under 300 grand, I don't mind that either. I don't mind it, but yeah, I think Hetherington's going to be in there 17. It's just how many minutes is he going to get? And then Fletcher Baker as well, I would steer clear. And Willison, who has been named, sounds like he may not even be in the 17. So tricky one there, but hopefully I've helped some super coaches out with some relevant players for round zero. Back in a minute. All right, gang. Nice, easy one here to start the year off with the bets. I'm chucking the whole 100 on both games going under. Manly and South, under 41.5. Yes, please. Roosters and Broncos, under 39.5. Yes, please. Two of them together paying $3.38. Chuck the 100 on that to return 338.55 and get our gambling season off to a flyer. I just like those games. I think they're both going to fall. All four scores will be in the teens, and that should be enough to win. If you are having a punt, make sure you do so responsibly. Back after this. All right, guys, we are back. Time for this.
Question?
Right, question coming in from Garth. Halfback options with Hines possibly injured. Geez, we hope he's not. A lot of us are relying on him. Very, very popular player to start the year. If he's out, and obviously Cleary and Hines is the very, very popular 1-2 halfback combo that most teams will be running with this year. I certainly am. Like probably a lot of us, entertain the thought of maybe going a little cute maybe with somebody else. But, geez, Hines and Cleary will hurt you almost every time, whereas the next tier down have got their quiet games in them. Moses, Walker, Johnson, those three blokes, the blokes I'm thinking of, they've got the old quiet game in them. Whereas with Cleary and with Hines, it's a surprise if they get, you know, less than 70. It's a surprise, really. Let's have a look through them. Let's have a look at Sean Johnson. First of all, I'm pretty sure he's got himself a pretty tasty draw. He is 793, so he's not cheap. Great year last year, averaging 78. High score of 149, so you know he's got that, and he does have a lower score of 20 as well. The Warriors draw to start the year. Not bad. Home to the Sharks, away to the Storm, home to the Raiders. That game's in Christchurch. Home to the Knights, away to the Bunnies. So, you know, probably you have to think the Storm and Bunnies games will be tough games. The Sharks, they're a good team, but defensively they do let in points, so I'm not worried about that. Raiders and Knights, there could be plenty of points on offer there. I don't mind the Sean Johnson shout. At 793, he's not actually as cheap as what I probably would have hoped. Let's have a look at our mate Moses. See what he's doing. He did look very, very good in the trial on the weekend just gone. So he's 695. So last year, averaged 68, highest score of 147, and a low score of 11. So that's a concern, the lowest score of 11. You look at the previous 2 years. In 2021, he had a lowest score of 7, and he had an 8 in 2022. So he's got a single-digit game in him, and that's a concern. So it's something to worry about with Moses, but he did, like I said, he did look good on the weekend. 695, 400. He starts off home to the Dogs, away to Penrith, home to Manly, home to the Tigers, away to the Raiders. So pretty friendly start for him too. You take that Penrith game out, and bear in mind, Parramatta tend to play Penrith quite hard. That's not to say there's a 30 game in Moses there. But that aside, I don't mind it if you really think Parramatta's going to go well. But, yeah, it's a big call to make. The other one I was looking at as another option, Sammy Walker at 610. So quite a discount there on everybody else. in the halfback position. Let's have a look at Sammy Walker's stats. Average 60 last year, high score of 92 and the lowest score of 24. At 610, they're at Vegas for the Broncos. They're away to Manly, home to Souths, home to Penrith, and then away to the Dogs. So not a very easy start there. So I would probably steer clear of Sam Walker, at least for the time being. I'm not sure if there's anybody else that I'd really want to look at. Cherry Evans, maybe. He's 782. Jerome Hughes, he's 722. So there are other options. In terms of anything a little bit cheaper, oh, there's not a lot there. There really isn't a lot there. If you think the Sharks, if Hines is out, Trindle does become an option. He'll be the goal kicker. He'll be the primary point scorer. So you know, in terms of setting things up, I don't mind the Trindle call at 439. He is dual halfback 5'8". I think if the word comes out that Hines' injury is more serious than we first thought, Trindle will become very, very popular at 439 grand. You can't really go wrong there. So a bit of a long-winded answer there to go over a few halfback options there. Garth also, Garth, oh, sorry, wait a second.
Bring it. Question?
Just love hearing that. His front row and second row is full of mid-range cheapies. Is that a predicament? Oh, I don't think so. I think it's the way to go, especially that second row. There are just so many mid-ranges that are really, really good value and are underpriced. Absolutely nothing wrong with just filling up your second row with these guys. Very good chance that most of them will score well and make money, more importantly, and it won't take that long for you to be able to upgrade to, say, if a feeder hits the ground running when he comes back from injury, or Hopgood as well. I'm very tempted just to go Hopgood from the start, but there are just so many really good value propositions in the second row, so absolutely nothing wrong with going with value there. As for the front row, that's a wee bit different, the front row. It's tough. There's a school of thought just to go cheap and, you know, get 30s and 40s. Hopefully someone can jag some decent minutes and maybe pop out a 50 or something like that, do a whole lot of offloading. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't mind going maybe the one proven front rower and then three cheapies. I kind of think you can roll with, especially at this time of year, I kind of look, if I can get 100 points from my two starting front rowers combined, I'll take that. 50 apiece, 60, 40, whatever it takes. You do the math on it. That's why I was really strong on Cotter. If Cotter can pump out a 65 for me, which I'm confident he'll be able to do, I only need 35 from my other starting front rower, and I can get that out of one of those bargain basement guys, I feel. So I'm very tempted just go with, a Cotter, and then three cheapies. The other option is maybe go for something a little bit safer in terms of starting wise, and maybe go, like, I'm weighing up getting both Roosters and just going May and Lenu. I think they're both really good value. So there's a temptation to do that as well. And obviously as well, if you are saving money in your fatties, you can spend them in your skinnies. So and that's where the bulkier Supercoach points come from, is from halfback down, really, isn't it? So, yeah, I don't mind going value-wise there in the forwards at all.
Bring it. Question?
Question from Jeremy. Will the therapist ever win a head-to-head comp? Great question, Jeremy. Thank you for it. I'm not really a head-to-head guy. I may have been in a group chat and thought head-to-head was something completely different between two consensual male adults. Yeah, it's not really for me head-to-head. I mean, if you beat your mate or whatever, that's all good, but it's all about overall. It's all about scoring points. And overall, for me, I'll never strategize purely for a head-to-head. Unless a different story, if it's the end of the year, you're not really ranked where you want, but somehow you're still managing to jag head-to-head wins and you're getting to the finals, and you know, if if you can make trades to either block or, you know, pull something out of left field to win your head-to-head, I'm all for it. But, yeah, will I win a head-to-head comp? Unlikely.
Question.
And this one comes in from Bryce. Why is there no one talking about SJ or Egan? So I did have a wee little yarn about SJ there talking about possible halfback options. As for Egan, I don't mind Egan at the price, which isn't the worst. I believe he's let's have a look. He's 576-100, Egan, and he was one of those Warriors that had a career year last year. Always concerns with old Wado is the head knocks. How often do you see the bloke on the ground? Looks like he's probably concussed. And yeah, he does come off for a HIA. Do you see him again? It'd be stressful owning the bloke. He averaged 56 last year, high score of 99, lowest score of 16, but I dare say that would have been in a injury affected game. Yeah, he looked good in the trial. The Warriors looked really slick, and Egan was controlling things in the middle really, really well. I don't mind Egan if you want to do something a little bit different at hooker. Hooker is, man, that's a tricky, tricky position this year at hooker. What do you do there? You know, we thought, going to be some pretty good cheapies or very much in the lower mid-range in the likes of Jaden Brayley and either the Parramatta guys, Hands or Lussick. Who knows what's happening there? Brayley's got a hamstring. Sounds like Brad Arthur might decide to go with two hookers, which probably rules out both those Parramatta boys. Then you're really stuck with what to do there. You can pay up and just get Harry Grant, and you don't have to worry about it. It doesn't matter who's your second hooker. You're stoked with Harry Grant. That's the stress-free option, I feel. I think he's going to be the highest-scoring hooker this year. Stress-free option, just get Harry Grant and don't worry about it anymore. Cook as well. I think Cook is someone who could do really well this year. You know what you're going to get from him. He might be on the decline. He probably doesn't have the running game he had a few years ago, but he still averaged 65 last season. So I can't imagine a drop-off that significant. Mamazoulis is there. He's re-signed for 3 years. They'll want to blood him in at some stage. There's also Havili lurking on the bench, something to think about. JMK, I don't know about him as well. I don't know if he's going to have the year he had last year. Lots of injuries as well at 639. Blake Brayley next on the list. Word is he won't be the sole hooker in the Sharks 17 this season, with Beryl, who's a very good young rake, possibly getting a bench spot there. And at bottom price, if you want to run a Grant and Beryl hooker combo, I can't begrudge that at all. Appy is very interesting, has the round one bye. If you're not scared by the round one bye, which I don't think you should, I think he's a good option. He is their main attacking strike. He'll be kicking goals. How many goals he kicks, hard to tell. How many tries they score, you know, don't put your hopes on that. But I think a lot of the attack that comes there, the Tigers' way, Appy will have his hands on, so I don't mind the Appy call. Rhys Robson, rock steady. He averaged 55 last year at 561 in a Cowboys team that I think is going to get off to a good start. Robson is a good call. Marnie, I'm not convinced on, nor Croker. The cheese I spoke about earlier, I don't mind a bit of cheese. Just keep in mind, if you do go with him and really good news breaks on Teamless Tuesday in that hooker position, you're stuck in a way. You know, your options are very much limited because you've already got Brando sitting up there pretty. I think Jacob Little is a great option. I really like the Jacob Little option. If he is fit, last report I read is he is okay for round one. He looked good in the trial. At 458, there's a possibility they don't run with another hooker on the bench. I don't mind Jacob Little at the Dragons. I don't mind him if you just want to go a little bit cheaper. Walters, Ray Stone, oh, I don't know. Is he going to play a bit of lock? Sounds like somebody else might be playing a bit of lock. Connor Watson was someone I was thinking of as a second hooker, just to have the dual, and if there was somebody else that would possibly get some dual action too, could have been handy. He doesn't even make the 17. Who else we got here? We've talked about Hands. We've talked about Brayley. We've talked about Lussick. I think if two of those three are somehow named for round one, I think it's pretty safe and a pretty good option to go bang, bang with the two of them. I think between the two of them, kind of like what I said with the two front rowers, if your two hookers at the start of the year can, if you don't have a primo like a Grant, if you've got mid-rangers or cheapy to mid-rangers, if they can jag you 100 points combined, I'm really happy with that. So if it's Hands and Brayley and they both pick up 50s, 55 and 45 each, I'm happy with that. I will take that. So yeah, that there's lots of options. There are lots of options at hooker. Sonny Luke might even get a gig in round one with Mitch Kenny being suspended for a game, but we're all a bit dark on Sonny Luke, aren't we? Danny Levi, bargain price, 238. Could get some decent game time but at the Raiders, but it's hard to trust those guys. Carl Lawton, as I mentioned, is on the bench for Manly, playing at round zero at 238, dual, 2FR, and hooker. So, yeah, there's options there. Lots of options there. Thanks very much for your questions. You can fire them in via Spotify or nrlsctherapy at gmail.com. Fire the questions through. More than happy to help out where I can. Back in a tick. Righto, gang, that's probably going to do it for the first episode of the year. Thanks very much for listening. Let me know what you think about the new intro. I tried something a bit different this year, decided to go away from the cult and try something a little bit more connected with the title of the podcast. But yeah, if it's annoying or whatever, and you can just skip through it every time. Let me know what you think of it anyway. Stick with that or go back to the music. I'll decide from there. Look, thank you very much for listening. You can always hit me up, nrlsctherapy@gmail.com, on the Spotify as well. I'm kind of figuring out about whether to go on do YouTube and things like that. If I do, obviously I'll let everybody know. Otherwise, it's also on Facebook. Whether I branch out, I'm very techno dumb, so I'm not all that keen, but we'll see if I can figure it out. We might give it a go. I will have some guests on this year to chat Supercoach and everything as well. Enjoy the footy. Enjoy what's going to happen in Vegas over the weekend. Just the two games. And I'll be back, I don't know, Tuesday or Wednesday was here we go, to discuss the all-important team lists for round one and the makeup of the rest of our squads. All the best. Enjoy Las Vegas. Cheers, everybody.